الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور صدق الله العظيم. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, we are living in a world and in a society that promotes selfishness, where each and every person is worried about himself, and each and every person is demanding his rights, and he does not worry about his responsibilities. Whereas our deen is a deen that promotes selflessness. That is where we give preference to others over ourselves. I have recited a verse from the fifth para. My intention is not to speak about this verse, but the lesson that we get from this verse. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 8 categories of people. The first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allah speaks about حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, the rights of Allah. Because man has got 2 rights that he has to fulfill. One is the rights of Allah, that is حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, and the other is حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ, the rights of the creation of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala begins the verse by saying, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not ascribe any partners to Allah. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala speaks about the rights of the creation. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, beginning with the parents, that be good towards your parents, do good towards your parents, fulfill the rights of your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى, and your relatives, وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the orphans and the needy. And also the traveler, وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah Ta'ala says, even the neighbor also has got a right. And Allah Ta'ala speaks about 2 classes of neighbors. One is the close neighbor, and one is the neighbor that is staying far. وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ. Now look how beautiful our deen is. Allah says that that person who is right next to you is your neighbor. It could be for a few moments in salah, that person that is standing next to you, or you may be standing in a line waiting for something, that person that is next to you, or you traveling and the person is next to you, these people have also got a right. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, those people that are under you, that means those people that may be working for you, or the person that is in your marriage, that is the wife, so much so that Mufassirin and Muhaddithin mention even that animal that is under your care also has got a right. But after mentioning these eight classes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْرِ. That verily Allah does not love those people who are proud, those people who are arrogant, and those people who are boastful, and those people who have miserliness in them. They are misers. Now Mufassirin speak, what is the link between these three sicknesses, that is pride, arrogance, miserliness, and the rights that Allah spoke about before that? What is the link? And that is what I wish to speak about today. So Mufassirin mention that when a person is proud, and when a person is arrogant, and a person is a miser, he won't fulfill the rights of Allah also, he won't fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah also. In Tafsir Madarik, they mention that there are four types of people. When it comes to fulfilling the rights and miserliness, there are four types of people. The first group are those people, الَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يُؤْكِلُ. That person who he will eat himself, he will worry about himself, but he will not worry about others. The world can die, the world can burn. As long as I'm all right, everything is all right. So he's only worried about himself. He doesn't worry about the next person. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimullah, in his Sifatul Safwa, has mentioned the Sari Saqati rahimullah. We all heard the name of Sari Saqati rahimullah. He was the Shaykh of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. And he was also the uncle of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. He says that Hamidullah wa astaghfirullah 30 sanatan lidhalika alhamd. That once I said alhamdulillah, and I'm making istighfar for that alhamdulillah for 30 years. We'll say it's strange. When you say alhamdulillah, it's something good. Why must you make istighfar for that? So someone asked him, why are you making istighfar for that alhamdulillah? So he said that once I had my business with the other shops also, and we heard that there's a fire that broke out, and the shops are burning. So as we know, everyone started running for the shops to see what's happening. As I was going towards my shop, someone was passed me and told me that you got nothing to worry about. Your shop is safe and sound. Nothing happened to your shop. Yes, many other shops got burnt. So because of that, I said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, my shop did not get burnt. But then when I reflected over myself, and then I thought to myself, that I only thought about myself. I said, Alhamdulillah, my shop never burned. I should have said, oh Allah, those people's shops who also burnt, oh Allah, replace them with something better. I only thought about myself. So he said, I'm making istighfar. Now you can see how far they're going now. And let's look at, I mean, we will say that is nothing wrong. You said, Alhamdulillah is something good. But you only thought about yourself. So that is the first group of people, alladhi ya'kulu wala yu'kilu, that those people will worry about themselves, they will not worry about others. Now if a person does not remedy the sickness, this is a sickness of miserliness that a person has. If a person does not fix it, he does not remedy it, he does not go to the pious, the mashayikh and the pious ulama and fix it and put it right, then that will fester. And that brings us to the next group. الَّذِي لَا يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يُؤْكِلُ. That those people, they won't eat for themselves. They don't worry about themselves, and they don't even worry about others also. Our study used to give us an incident. It's famously known in India that the Baniyas, they were very rich also. They were famously known for their wealth, and they were famously known for their miserliness also. So an incident is mentioned about one of them, that he got so sick, he had so much of money, but he had got so sick, he's asking the doctor how much it will cost me to get right, or for the medication. So they told him the amount, and when he heard the amount, he said, I'd rather die than use the money. So this was his thing. He won't even use the money for himself also, and he won't even use. So some people just have a status thing only. They're only worried about what status I have in society. They won't even use the money for themselves. They won't even use the money for others also. So that is the second group. The third group now, in Tafsir Madarik that is mentioned, that is Alladhi Ya'akulu wa Yu'akilu. That person, he eats himself, he worries about himself also, and he worries about others also. We will say this is a praiseworthy thing, and that is what we should have. That a person worries about himself and he worries about others also. But this is not the best. It's not the best. The best is the fourth situation. Is Alladhi la ya'kulu wa yu'kilu. That person, he worries about himself but not first. He worries about others before himself. And that is the highest point that the lives of Sahaba ran home, that was what Sahaba had. Yazid Bustami, rahimahullah, he says that one youngster surprised me. One day I was making tawaf of the Baytullah, and this youngster comes up to me and he says, Mazzuhud, what is abstinence of this world? So I told him, إِذَا وَجَدْنَا أَكَلْنَا وَإِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا. That when Allah gives us, then we'll eat. But when Allah Ta'ala doesn't give us, we make sabr. So he said, لَا فَرْقَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الْكَلْبِ. Then he said that if that is your condition, that when Allah gives you, you will eat, and when Allah doesn't give you, then you make sabr, then there's no difference between you and a dog. Because the dogs, when they come to their master, if the master gives them something, they'll eat. Master doesn't give them something, they go away. So he said, I really got shocked at this answer. So I asked him, what is zuhd? What is abstinence? So he said, إِذَا فَقَدْنَا صَبَرْنَا إِذَا فَقَدْنَا شَكَرْنَا وَإِذَا وَجَدْنَا آثَرْنَا. He said that when we don't have, we make shukr to Allah. And when we have, we give preference to others over ourselves. He said, this boy really shocked me. He said that this is the height now of generosity. And when you look at the lives of Sahaba Ranum in the 28 Juz in Surah Al-Hashr in verse 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Ansar. And we all know about the generosity of the Ansar. That Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّؤُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. That the Sahaba or the Ansar had, Allah Ta'ala speaks about three qualities of this. That when the Muhajirin, when they came, they migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah to Medina to Munawwara. Then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created brotherhood between one Muhajir and one Ansar, then Allah Ta'ala says, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ. They loved those people that came to them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً. Now one is, a person has a lot, and if I give someone else, he doesn't mind, because I got enough for myself, so I don't really mind. But Allah is saying that this Ansar was such, that on one occasion, the booty came in. From the Banu Nadir, the booty came in. And now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls the Ansar, and he tells the Ansar, you see, you all have lot, alhamdulillah, Allah has given you a lot, and you all did lot for the Muhajirin also. But the Muhajirin are still very poor. Would you mind if I give all this wealth, because whatever comes in the booty, whoever fought, it has to be distributed amongst them. Ansar also fought, Muhajir also fought. So it's supposed to be given to them equally. But he asked them that, would you all mind that I take this wealth and I'll give it to the Muhajirin, and Allah will make them self-sufficient also. But if you don't want it, then I'll distribute it equally. And all the Ansar in one voice, they said, Ya Rasulullah, give it over to the Muhajirin. They did not even feel anything about it. But you may say that they had so much for themselves, so it wasn't a great thing to do. But Allah speaks about the third quality, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. But the next quality is that they give preference to others even though they are needy. Even though they are needy, they give preference to others. We all know the famous incidents that once in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the riwayat of Tirmidhi, that one person comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, I got no food. So Nabi sallam asked the Sahaba, is there anyone who got it? First he sent a message to the Azwaj Mutahharat, to his own homes. Is there anything to eat we can give to this person? But all of them replied, we got nothing at home. So then there's one Sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, I will take him home. Some say it was Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. He takes this person home, but he hasn't got food for himself also. He hasn't got food for his own children also. He just got little bit of food, which will suffice maybe just the children. He tells the family, no we me al-atfal, make all the children sleep and dim the light so that the guest does not know. Now obviously they never had lighting like ours. Okay? Even in load shedding we can see everything. But in those days they couldn't even see anything. It was just candlelight. If you just put the candlelight, you're eating in darkness. So he said, just dim the light so that he doesn't know that we are not eating with him. I'm sitting there, I'm talking with you, I'm acting like I'm eating, but I'm not eating. So that the guest can fill himself. So it's not only one incident, there are many incidents of Sahaba on whom like this. Likewise, there's another incident, famous incident, we know that one Sahabi was about to pass away, and another Sahabi comes to give him water, and then he hears another sound from another Sahabi making a sound that he wants water. So he tells his cousin, give him the water, leave me and go back to give him. Once he goes to the second Sahabi, the third Sahabi is making a noise. And the water is going all the way around. When they reach the last person, he passes away. When they come back to the first person, all of them are passed away. All of them are passed. Each one is giving preference to the next person. Have you heard of any person that their inheritance has come, these brothers and sisters, each and every person, few of the brothers, they got enough, Allah has given them enough. They don't even need the money. But have you ever heard of a person say, never mind, I'll leave my share, I will give it to my brother. We haven't heard of it. But look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A Sahabi is prepared to tell another Sahabi that I got two wives, I'll divorce one of my wives so that after I eat that then you can also get married to her. I got half my wealth to you, O my muhajir brother. And it was a condition of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So the point I'm trying to say is that this world that we are living in is promoting selfishness. Whereas our deen is a deen that is promoting selflessness. I'll just mention a last incident. Abdullah bin Huzafa As-Sahmi radiallahu ta'anhu, Ibn Kathir has mentioned his incident. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, his whole army was captured by the Romans. He's brought in front of the Roman Empire and he's brought in front of the king. And the king tells him that become a Christian and I will give you half my kingdom and I will get you married to my daughter also. Sahaba wa sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, we cannot even come close to the smallest, as we say, even the lowest sahabi. He replies, even if you give me your whole kingdom, you give me the kingdom of the Arabs also, I won't become a Christian. Anyway, the king wanted to frighten him. So he asked for a cauldron, a big pot like, and he put boiling oil inside. And he took another sahabi and he put him inside. And you can imagine what had happened to him in that boiling oil. And he told the sahabi, if you don't become a Christian, your turn is next. The sahabi said, you can do whatever you want to. I'm not becoming a Christian. So he told his men, take him. Now as they're taking him, he starts crying. So the guard is thinking that maybe he changed his mind. So he comes back and he tells the king that I think he changed his mind. He's crying now. So the king calls him back and he asks him that, have you changed your mind? He says, no, I haven't. He said, then why are you crying? He says, I'm crying that Allah has only given me one life to give in his part. I wish that I had many more lives that I can give in his part. So then the king realized that this man is no ordinary person. We can't break him. He's no ordinary person. So he told him, all right, what you do is that you kiss me on my forehead. You kiss me on my forehead and I'll release you. He told, see, hold on. It's such a situation now. He's worried about his life also, but he told his seer, I won't kiss you until you release everyone with me. My whole army must be released, then only I will kiss you. Look at that time, he's selfless. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about everyone. He says, you release everyone, I kiss you. So he thought to himself, he's not against Shariat if I have to kiss him. So he kissed him on his forehead, and that person, true to his word, he freed everyone. Now they come in front of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he relates the whole thing to Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu stands up for him. He tells all the sahaba, you're standing in respect for him also. I'm the first one to kiss his forehead, and everyone must kiss his forehead also. So the point that we mention here is that our deen is teaching us to be selfless. We must not be selfish. We must think about ourselves after we think of others. Once we do that, then you will see that this deen of ours will flourish and our society will flourish. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whatever we have spoken, Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.